Glad you're here this morning. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are a people who you have made. We're a people who have great blessing when we recognize you, our Creator. As we would honor you and glorify you, we will find blessing in our lives, and we're so thankful that you've given us specific instructions from the very beginning all the way up to this present day. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, that we might be able to read and to learn of that which glorifies you and honors you, and that which brings health to our bones. I thank you so much that we can spend time even in this study here this morning. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our focus this morning will be on Proverbs chapter 5. The Proverbs chapter 5 deals with the strange woman. And this is really a passage which begins to draw information and application to a lot of the previous lessons that we've been taking advantage of, chapters 1 through 4. We started out learning about the matters of knowledge and understanding and wisdom, three items that are progressive in level of importance, level of how we deal with that which is around us, knowledge being primarily that which we are able to observe, and it allows us to be able to take this bits of information that is about around us and to begin to take it and to see that there is importance in comparison to one thing as to another. And then we have understanding, which allows us to separate and to distinguish with our minds the difference between that which is man's wisdom, or we might say worldly wisdom, worldly things, as opposed to that which is holy. So when we're talking about that which is worldly, we're talking about that which comes information that mankind, knowledge that mankind gathers, but doesn't relate to the one who made it, and doesn't relate it in such a manner whereby we're able to distinguish that some things honor God and some things don't honor God. So we need to have the mind and will of God in the way we do things. And so worldly philosophies is in opposition or comparison to God's law. And the book of Proverbs makes significant discussion that God's law is the information that we should be putting into our hearts and our minds, and then we should learn to distinguish between that which is of God's mind and will as opposed to that which is of man's mind and will, with the assumption that man's mind and will or the things of the world is at least in part rebellion against God, or at least ignoring those things which are God. Then wisdom is taking this information and taking this bit of distinguishing between that which is God's and that which is man, and then we're judging between these things, and we're discerning these things in such a manner that our actions will then reflect that which what we ought to be doing. So God's will is obeyed. God's will is our counselor. God's will is that which we do, knowing that when we do these things, God will approve the end results of these things, and also the process which gets us there. So we start out with these three things. Knowledge, beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. understanding and wisdom. These three things is really the focus of much of the book of Proverbs thus far that we've been studying. And so when we come to chapter 5, we begin our discussion here in verses 1 and 2, and it says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Now, the word "my wisdom," my understanding, such as in verse 1, refers to the writer of the book of Proverbs, but it also refers to that which he acknowledges as being of God. So all of this wisdom and understanding is related to God's law, and he is repeating these things to us as a person, as God's messenger, he would repeat these things to us so that we might be able to take the benefit of all of this and properly order our lives. We ended up last week in chapter 4, where we were discussing the ways, the path, the ponder thy path, such as in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And we were discussing last week the area that had to do with what is your purpose in life? Where are you going? What are you doing? How do you get the information that discerns where you should go and what you're doing? And we went back to the idea of a student in high school or maybe early college or high school and then graduating and saying, now what? What does God have for me? Or what is my purpose in life? Where should I go? What should be my path, the path of my feet? And when we were discussing that, we were comparing how the world, the philosophies of the world, which ignore God, generally anyway, how these philosophies will lead us down a wrong path. And how does one gain information so that you can be on the right path? And we discussed that God starts out with general information. As we read through the scriptures, there are general things that are there that would apply to most anyone in the circumstances that would relate to what we would study and read in the Bible. And we would start with taking this general information which is there and applying that to our life. And as we begin doing this, and as we spend time reading the scriptures, which is God's law, then the Spirit of God would deal with our minds and with our soul in such a manner whereby we would then have specific knowledge and information that would apply to us as the Spirit of God would direct us as individuals, so that we would have individual leading along with general leading, which would be available to most anyone. And all of this relates to knowledge. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So we turn to the one who gives us this information and respect it and practice it and use it, and for the purpose of glorifying him. When we come to chapter 5, we see here, "My son, attend to my wisdom," and the law of God, which is related to wisdom, "bow thine ear unto my understanding, and that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." The two verbs that are involved there in verse 1 is attend and bow. Attending has to do with the idea that if you give attendance to a meeting, you're going to be there. You're going to participate in it. If you give attendance to the commands of someone else, might be your boss or whatever, or maybe you're the boss and you want someone to give attendance to your instructions, it would be the idea that you're going to be expecting them, or you would be expected to be personally involved and practicing the things that would be discussed. The term bow would relate to authority, whereby someone would bow before the king or someone would bow their will before the one who is in authority over them in some way or some manner. And so we're to attend to wisdom. And this would be the idea. I would be attending to acting in such a manner that I would be doing things that God would approve, to the wisdom. And I would be bowing my ear to understanding, in that I would learn to discern the difference between that which is worldly, or either ignoring or anti-godly, and that which is holy, that which is pure in its manner and which would be pleasing in relationship to the mind and will of God. So I bow to that which is right. So when we're talking about understanding, we're talking about that which is worldly versus holy. We're also talking about that which is right and that which is wrong. We would bow to that which is right. We would focus our lives in doing that which is right. That thou mayest regard, verse 2, discretion. And here, discretion has to do with being able to discern with a manner of acuteness. So this would focus not on just the general things that are out there, but this has to bring it down to the specifics. If you're going to have a heart attack, you might say, okay, the fellow with the heart attack is just having a problem. Maybe it's angina, maybe it's something else, we don't know. But when we're talking about that which is acute, we're talking about that which brings it down. An acute heart attack brings it down to life and death situations. That's the focus that would be involved there if we're looking at that specific area. And so when we're going to discern things, we're going to use discretion. We need to realize this might very well be a life and death decision that we're involved in here, and that we would hedge about this bit of information that we have, this knowledge that's there. We would learn to understand, so we distinguish right and wrong, good and bad, and worldly and non-worldly, holy, and then we would use this to God's glory. So regard discretion. We're going to hedge this about and keep this in our life as we go along in our ways. Now, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. We're going back to knowledge again. And so what your lips say are very, very important. What your lips are, you're going to use your lips for, is very, very important. The lips tend to speak what's in my heart. So if my heart is twisted, my heart is bent in a wrong direction, that's usually thought of as being perverse or evil in some kind of manner. If my lips are going to display that kind of mannerism within me, then knowledge is pushed away, because my lips should reflect what's there in my heart. That thy lips may keep knowledge. Now, there's two terms, lips. One is in verse 2, that thy lips may keep knowledge. But in verse 3, for the lips of the strange woman. Now, we're talking about someone who is turned aside. Someone who's turned aside from truth. Someone who's turned aside from that which is according to the proper custom or culture. We talked in previous times about culture as being different kinds of culture that we live in. A lot of people think that the American culture is a good culture, but the American culture, while it may have good things, is not the same as what you would call the Christian culture. The Christian culture would have to do with knowledge, fear of God, understanding, discerning between worldly and holy, and wisdom, which is acting according to that which is godly in our intent. The strange woman is one who is of another culture, another way of life, which is contrary to the ways of God. Now, we'll find that it goes a lot further in this. There's characteristics in this that you would be able to see here as characteristics of those who are following the worldly culture or that which is worse, just open rebellion against God. Now, there's two kinds of lips. There's the lips of the man who regards God and the lips of the strange woman. The strange woman's lips are often used to take the heart of a man and to draw him away from that which is holy. Now, see how this happens. For the lips of the strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Now, how many of you have seen a honeycomb? Pull a honeycomb out of a hive or see a honeycomb that's in a tree. And if the honeycomb is over full or has been disturbed in some way, you'll see that the honey begins to run down the comb and drop off. And it's not unusual for someone who is working a hive to maybe take the honey that's on the bottom of the comb and lick it and stick it to your lips and suck off the sweetness that's on your finger. What we're saying here is that the ways of the world have an unusual characteristic that want to draw a man or anyone away from the knowledge of God, the will of God, the goodness of God. The ways of the world also have a form of sweetness that is very, very tempting to the heart and soul of man. So, when people say sin is awful and full of bitterness, as it will further down in the passage, the ways of the world also start out as forms of sweetness that draw us and will entangle us. So the lips of the strange woman drop as the honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, if there's anything that will draw a man away from faithfulness to his wife, or ways of faithfulness to the things of God, it would be, if you want to distract him, then the lips of the strange woman applied to his lips would be that which would cause everything to short circuit in his brain and to turn away from that which would be good judgment. So, here's the danger that's out there. And it says here, for the lips of the strange woman drop as a honeycomb and her mouth is smoother than oil. We wonder why sometimes people will get entangled, fellows will get entangled with the wrong women, because they allow things to take place that short circuit the brain and stop them from thinking logically. And if you go into the junior high schools and high schools, you see all these guys that are all short-circuited because some female comes along and blinks her eyes or speaks good things. Out her lips comes flattering. And the guy just goes bananas. He doesn't have any concept of discerning after that point. Now, here's the problem. You might start out with the droppings of the honeycomb, but in verse 5, the word "but" needs to be circled real good in your Bible, because there's a contrast there. In fact, what we're having here is we're having several characteristics of the strange woman, which first has to do with her lips, then her mouth. So the lips would have to do with what is spoken or direct contact. Her mouth has to do with the things that are said or is other things such as is smoother than oil. But her end, what's the result of what she does? Is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Bitter as wormwood has to do with piercing. You know, if you had someone who stick a thorn in you and just keep wiggling it, we're talking about that as being a description of bitter. As painful, as such that is severe. Maybe put a small sliver into the skin, into the hand, and then just keep irritating it. That's what we're talking about, bitter as wormwood. But wormwood has to do with that which is also poisonous or leads to death. So we're having pain that leads to death. Sweetness starts, but it results in pain which would lead or potentially be poisonous, which would either maim or cause atrophy. What's it called anyway? You know, you get something in your body and the shriveling up that would take place. Spider bites, certain kind of spider bites on the leg or somewhere. You'll see that people, if they're eaten, bitten by certain kinds of spider, that they'll have a hole in their leg before everything heals up. Or it might even lose a leg. This is the kind of concept that's involved there. And that's also painful when that takes place. So her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It will pierce in and it will cause all kinds of damage. And that would probably refer to the Roman sword, which the Romans were able to get in and really work around. So what we're doing here is that we're looking I'm wanting to make some comparisons here. I want to go back up to verse 2. Thou mayest regard discretion. That has to do with the mind. Verse 3. Now we're having the feeling, which has to do with the body's reaction to things. In fact, when we talk about people being saved, they expect that their new life would just be automatic and just take place like this. And you have the mind, you have the physical, and then you have the spiritual. The spiritual is that which it ought to be, but sometimes the body takes place. The feelings get involved. And so that the mind is not working as it ought to work, is not recognizing things as it ought to recognize. We're seeing this kind of concept built into this passage. And so we have the mind, we have the body is involved there. And then we get down to verse 5 and we see the results that are taking place. So here we have the strange woman. The lips drop as honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Verse 4, her end is bitter as wormwood. Verse 5, her feet go down to death. What kind of path do you want to walk, folks? This is the warning that the Scriptures are giving to us. What kind of path do I want to walk? Going down, it descends the path to death. Her steps. So we have her end, her feet, her steps take hold on hell. When we're talking about taking hold on something, it's something that you grab a hold of fast. And when it's grabbed a hold of fast, fastly grabbed a hold of, where you don't let go, you stay there. Superglued into that spot. That's the kind of the concept that would be involved there. Her steps take hold on hell. So we have leading into death, and then the grave takes hold on someone, and it's permanent. Physical relations that a man and woman might have with each other when there is not the one-on-one for life arrangement, such as the Scriptures speak about, where there is one with many, brings all kinds of diseases. And the Scriptures speak of that, and it's still true today. Path goes down to death, and eventually hell, or the place of the dead, takes a hold on them, and it lays hold on them fast. And that, why is it today we are having so many young people die in percentage to what it was even 50 years ago? The lifespan on certain lifestyles seems to be increasing the death rate instead of decreasing it, even though we have so much modern medicine. Because the ways of God are being ignored. So when her steps take hold on hell, verse 6 continues on this, lest we're to be aware of this, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life. Now, God gives us instructions. We ignore the instructions. We find that the bitterness takes place. The sharp sword is laid into us. Death is approaching. And if you're in the grave, you're not going to be able to ponder the ways of life, that which gives eternal life even. So we have a lot of people who are ignoring the things of God, not fearing the one who is their creator. All of the things of the world are grasping a hold of their attention. They find that the ways of the world seem to drop as honey. And by the time they start going down that path and enter into the grave, it's too late. It's too late to have a hope of eternal life. The ways of God completely wiped away because the body is now dead as the mind and the soul operates in the realms of death as it goes on. And notice here that in the last part of verse 6, her ways are movable. The ways of the strange woman are movable. We live in a world where things seem to be movable anymore. You see one thing one day and one thing another day, and you don't know which is true or who to believe or what's going on. If things are like the sea, that the way is going back and forth, how are you going to know exactly, how are you going to get your positioning? The only way we can get our positioning is to go to the laws of God, as it speaks about so many times over and over again in the first four chapters. And so her ways are movable. The ways of God are fixed. We live in a world today that says truth is what it seems to be to you at the moment. And it can change according to circumstances and change according to this and change according to that. And God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am an eternal God. There is no change. Everything always was and is and will be. So her ways are movable. This is part of the discerning. This is part of the understanding. Discerning the difference between that which is worldly and discerning the difference between that which is holy or godly. And God's ways are always the same. We can depend on it. But the ways of the strange woman, or even the world as we would look at it, keep shifting. We never know from day to day exactly where it's going to land and where it's going to be. And so we live uncertain lives. And so an individual says, well, what should I be or what should I do for the rest of my life? If you're letting the world teach you, the ways are always going to be shifting and you're never going to know. If you let the Word of God, the laws of God guide you, the ways are determinable. We're able to decide. We're able to see this is where I ought to be and ought to go in my day and in my walk. So then we come to here to verse 7, and there's a call to action. Well, so far we've looked at the mind. We've looked at the body's response to the things that the world would offer. We see the results of the strange woman as to how these things are very dangerous and lead to death. Now in verse 7, we have a call to action. There's about four verbs that come in the next few verses. And it says, first of all, is the word hear in verse 7. Also, depart not. Verse 8, remove. Verse 9, come not nigh. So here we have, hear me now, therefore, O ye children. God made us. We need to be hearing. We're His by creation. And for those who are spiritual, you're His by new birth, placed into the family of God. And we need to hear as children. Just as parents are to be listened to, which is the natural arrangement that has been established from the beginning. Parents teach their children. And so here in Proverbs, the father, who is the king, teaches his sons. And as God, who is, and we should respect him and honor him as our father, teaches us, hear me now, therefore, O ye children. You know, hearing is more than just letting sound come in one side and out the other. Hearing has to do with processing this information so that it results in action that's godly. So hear me now, therefore, and depart not from my words, from the words of my mouth. So we have restrictions that are placed about us, boundaries. Not only do we hear, but we don't depart from that which we hear. We allow this to be our guide in our particular area, county. We have, and it was true where I was in other places and lived too, we have macadam that's put down for roads. We have center lines and we have sometimes side lines, but if you don't have the lines even painted on the side, there's still the rule that when you're driving, you stay on the pavement. You don't let yourself be as distracted and attention distracted so that you either go over the line or you go off, you know, off. It only has to be this far, off the side of the road. And when you try to correct back on, often it takes place that the car will lurch over the across the line and then you have a head-on collision or you hit a tree or go into the ditch or you overcorrect and go back over to this side. But the result is injury and death. And we've had a lot of teens die because of that one mistake. And so here's the mistake. Don't depart from the words of my mouth. Because you go off the edge and all kinds of odd things begin to take place. And it's often not that you're going to go down as the strange woman down the path to death and you're going to be taken hold of by hell. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Verse 8, remove thy way far from her. Now, here's the way that that I was taught to do things when I was younger. As I became a Christian, I had different kinds of people teach me various things. And one of the things that was taught by some of the people is that, yes, God is holy, and here's the ideal. But we as Christians have certain privileges in that we can go just as close as possible as we can to sin. Just don't go over the boundary quite. Now, if I'm driving down the road, and I know that there's this drop-off, this 4 inches, if my wheel drops off, then all kinds of strange things happen. Is it going to be my choice to drive? By the way, they did when I was learning driver's training. They did try to teach me that if they put a rock on a road, I would go down the circle and I should be able to put my right tire so it bounces over that rock. And I should be able to feel the thump that's there. Well, you know, if I learn to bring my wheel that far from the edge of the road, it doesn't take much distraction for me to go over the edge and drop off. And then everything goes wacky. Good thought, I would think, would be that we don't see how close we can get, even half of the tread of the tire, over the edge. But that I would give a room of safety. Even the idea of scriptures is that I would depart from the edges and go right down the center of where I ought to be so that I'm not in danger on either side. And so when we're talking about here that we are to remove thy way from her or from the strange woman, is that I don't spend time close to her. I depart. I remove my way from her. And here is another one. Is the second part of verse 8 is, come not nigh the door of her house. My son gave the best example of this. You walk down any street, or some of the streets, you might say, of the city of Katanning or Pittsburgh or anywhere you live, I'm going to have the option of a drugstore, a newspaper store. What is it? C.J. Murphy used to be downtown. There's restaurants. There's taverns. There's all kinds of places that I have an opportunity to go by. And in some cities, there's even red lights that twinkle in certain parts of the town. Now, the question is, my son said, you know, everybody has a choice as to which door they go into. And proper choice is choosing which doors not to go into. Knowledge should give us some observation. Understanding should be able to discern between right and wrong. And wisdom would be saying, I'm going to do it as God would be pleased. So here I am. I am to not come nigh the door of the house of the strange woman, which is going to take me down to death. And the warnings then become with several lests. Verse 9, lest thou give thine honor to others and thy years unto the cruel. Verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. How many men have lost their wealth playing around with the wrong people? Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Now, I would think that your labors ought to be in your own house, shouldn't they? Not in the house of the stranger. Used properly. And verse 11, we have a lot of ands involved here, beginning in verse 10. Lest thy stranger be filled with thy wealth and thy labors. Verse 11, and thou mourn at the last. Why would you mourn? Because death is approaching. Why would a father mourn except that his son wouldn't be interested in these things and would walk into the wrong doors? And thou mourn at the last. But this is the person who's doing it is doing the mourning. It's not the relatives. The relatives are going to mourn too. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and this speaks of all kinds of disease that results in wrong actions. Verse 12, and again, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? I hated instruction. How long can we go hating instruction and despising the reproof of those who say, you're going the wrong way, you're on the wrong path. Don't do that. Do that which is bringing health to your soul and your life and your body. Instruction, someone teaches us, and then they reprove us saying, now listen to the instruction, don't go the wrong way. Verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher. And I hated instruction. My heart despised reproof. And I have obeyed the voice, have not obeyed. Difference between obeying and not obeying. Have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. When we're involved in any kind of activity, we ought not to be going solo. We need to be listening to those who give good instruction, those who are concerned for our soul and our life and our way. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. I think this is Solomon, who is we believe is the writer of this book. Solomon understands that he obeyed not the voice of his teachers. And I was almost in all evil and in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Are you understanding that last phrase, in the midst of? You think you're doing something as an individual that's not seen by others? There's a lot of people who see it. We may think that we're sneaking around and enjoying this or enjoying that which is contrary to holiness. that what we do is going to leak out in different ways, either the places we enter into, the attitudes that we carry, the rebellion that tends to show from our heart after a time. These kinds of things seem to seep out of the very being that we have. And Solomon, I believe, he says, "I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation." Here was the king. By the way, how many kings, how many governors do we know in this past 2 years who have ended up in all kinds of trouble, even lost their jobs, because they did things in private that ended up being seen in the midst of the congregation and the assembly? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can have this bit of instruction that's given to us. May we understand. May we be able to discern the difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom that comes from you. May we take these things and practice that which is good for great benefit, not only for ourselves, but those who are around us. Father, death is not pretty, and we despise it when we see it. But Father, may it be that we will not walk the path that goes to death, that the ways of hell would get hold of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.